It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
Pick Six, sponsored by Affinity Whole Health. Do what I did. Visit FeelGreatIllinois.com to learn more about their testosterone therapy or their weight loss options. How closely will you be watching the defensive line in the Bears preseason finale tonight out in Kansas City? Is it a must-produce game for backups, or does it matter come time to improve the team following cutdown day?
It is, honest to God, a must-produce for all backups. It's a must-produce for everybody on the field. This is a chance. These are all job interviews. This is a chance to get yourself noticed, get on tape. If you've got anything, you lay it out on the line and you show it, because this is it. This could be your last chance at a professional career in football. And if you want to make a practice squad, if you want to make another team's roster, whatever it might be, you need to turn up. I will be watching the game closely. I'm interested in what happens on the offensive line, and I'm interested in what happens on the defensive line. I'm interested in what the backup quarterbacks, running backs, what everybody looks like. I'm interested in how they tackle and what the secondary looks like. I just think that when you get to a point like this, you're looking at guys that you might not see, but you might see him somewhere else. And there are plenty of like amazing stories in the NFL about guys that either have failed, not made teams, and wound up coming back in miraculous fashion. Those stories are everywhere. I think it's important to look at that. It probably will be closer with the defensive line, just because of the conversation we had yesterday really intrigued me about the inside guys and about how you're going to... Are they really going to wait? Is this a situation where they're waiting for cutdown day to add to the pass rush? I wonder that, and I mean that interior, and I mean that outside.
Yeah, I agree. I think my eyes will be on both the offensive and defensive lines tonight. But, you know, we kind of joked about it before and thought, really? But Ryan Poles said it was going to be tough to make this team. Mm-hmm. It's going to be tough to make this team. Yep. I mean, there is going to be – I don't believe that all the guys that the Bears are going to cut are going to be available to them on that practice squad. I think other teams might pick up some of the Bears' trash and, you know, one man's trash, another man's treasure, one GM's trash, another GM's treasure type of thing.
Yeah.
And it might work for the Bears as well. Well, it's to be determined. But I mean, I think there's a lot of guys that I think there's a lot of battles. I think there's a lot of roster spots. Plus, because of injuries, like we talked about, they're going to have to do some complicated things unless they're going to put some guys on the PUP list.
Guys like Velus Jones. I think guys like Velus Jones, that fits the category. We are tired of seeing him in Chicago.
Could he potentially be the starting running back tonight, David? Like, I mean, in all seriousness.
I doubt it. I think
like
it would be
15 touches.
I don't think it would be him. I think it would be Ian Wheeler before it would be him. But he'll get a lot of touches, right? I would think, because you do either want to showcase him or give him the opportunity to prove himself, which is why I always bristled covering the Bears for all of these years. Always bristle at the fact that this is a meaningless preseason game tonight. The preseason ends in a meaningless affair. It's not meaningless to these guys. These are jobs. These are careers. These are opportunities. These are opportunities for names you don't recognize and probably can't spell. I mean, let's face it. Mm-hmm. You're going to hear the name Amon Agbambiga tonight, and he's going to be all over the place. And we're going to think, oh, my gosh, if he's really good, we're going to have to learn how to pronounce his name and spell it. He's going to be a guy that is looking at this opportunity as the chance of a lifetime. Put some stuff on tape, make every tackle, make a deep impression. Practice squad, great. All these things, they're playing for themselves, they're playing for their team, they're playing for their next team, their next employer. So yeah, the Keith Randolphs of the world, you talk about Ian Wheeler, probably a practice squad guy. For Velus Jones, this is a chance to flash if he's in uniform. If he's not in uniform, he made the team, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. I think he's going to be in uniform. So I don't want to say and overstate it like I can't wait for tonight, But I am intrigued by what we're going to see, because you can watch football in different ways. And tonight you're going to learn how to, not learn how to, but you're going to be forced to watch it in a way that makes you appreciate the depth of a roster and what's at stake for these guys.
And I do understand your question.
How concerned are you, or should the Bears be, about any preseason chatter about Keenan Allen being washed up, slower, heavier, less effective? If I put the over-under at 75 catches for Allen, would you take the over or would you take the under?
I'm not taking the bait on Keenan Allen. I think it's easy to see why a 32-year-old would be doubted if he is not at playing at a top level at training camp. I think that you have heard, you know, the whispers or some social media chatter, and even a couple of our quarterback analysts have wondered on their YouTube page or on their analysis of the Bears breakdown on tape that JT O'Sullivan, I think, kind of, when I asked him the other night on Football Night in Chicago, I said, is Keenan Allen pacing himself? He thought that was a polite way to put it. So that's out there. The conversation is there, but I don't really buy it. Keenan Allen's a pro. He knows how to get ready for a season. I don't think that I'm ready to say that he's done or washed or all any of those things. I would take the over. He's going to catch more than 75 passes. He could be a weapon on third down. He's a first down machine. And anybody with his career deserves the benefit of the doubt. Take as many veteran days as you need, Keenan Allen. This is not where wide receivers come to die. It's now where they come to thrive. He and Caleb Williams will develop a chemistry better than we saw on the first snap of Saturday's game, and I think he's going to be just fine.
I think he's going to be just fine as well. He also wants a contract. I just think there are so many different options out there that I don't think 75 is. I think 75 means that somebody got hurt. That's what I think 75 means. So if from a betting standpoint, I would take under 75, but I'm not taking under 75 because he's washed up, slower, or heavier.
Yeah, I don't buy it. I really don't. You know, I think that's a veteran guy. He's 32 years old. He's not 78. He's not over the hill or anything. He's ready to go. And I think that this is a guy that again, is coming off one of his best years. And he is in a contract year. And he's a total pro, and he understands the game. And he's a guy that, as you said, first down machine. I got a lot of time for him. He is really quick in and out of his breaks. He's done it forever. This idea that suddenly over the summer he looks fine. He does not look heavy to me. He's put on 20 bad pounds. Oh, look at him. He's got a gut. No, he doesn't. He's a big, strong man. He's got legs to him, and he's got an arse, and he's a big, strong man that can churn and turn and run, and he's going to be excellent. Over for me, and I'm over this story.
First, I ask questions.
If the Bears preseason truly is over now after tonight's game against the Chiefs, what do you know about Caleb Williams? You didn't know before the players reported to Halas Hall on July 19th. What word would best describe the Bears' preseason to this point?
Well, it's really fascinating to me because it isn't over. You still have to practice and get ready. If I'm looking for a word, I would say excitement, because to me, the positivity is kind of bleeding out of this team. And they have played well in the glimpses that we've had, and the town is gearing up and ready to explode. I mean, the sporting landscape in Chicago, as we learned yesterday with the Cubs, not so good, right? The White Sox, I don't know, they won 3 out of 9. All of a sudden, they're winning 33% of their games. Maybe they can get 11 more if the rest of the games played out the way the 3-9 thing did. And then they wouldn't be the worst team ever. Wow. Let's have a party. Let's have a not the worst team party. We'll blow off the cannon of confetti and we'll just run around like maniacs. Wow, will that be fun. This is what we're basically praying for in Chicago. So let's get going. Let's get into the season. Let's see what Caleb Williams can do. I think there's tons of excitement.
For the word, I'd use success. You've won games. You've gotten reps. And nobody of great significance has suffered an injury that you would second guess why that player played the reps that they played. So I would use success. What the thing about Caleb that has surprised me is I knew that he likes to throw the ball. There's no doubt about that. I didn't realize he was so hesitant to take off running. He's run a couple of times. He had the nice slide, right, in the game earlier, and it came off the heels of the slip and slide version of Hard Knocks. And then, obviously, he ran in the score last Saturday. But, I mean, we had talked about it. Justin Fields would have left that pocket 30 seconds earlier, sooner, and taken off and put his head down, put his shoulder into somebody. And he just would rather try to move around in the pocket and find that open receiver than take off running. And that, I didn't realize he was that pass first.
The word is promising because everything that we have seen to this point of the preseason, and I guess it's more training camp is ending than more than the preseason. The preseason continues tonight, and there's still the build up and ramp up to the Titans game, but training camp is over and it ends with the Bears feeling very promising about this season. They've got a defense they trust. They've got depth galore. They've got offensive weapons that look the part. An offensive line is sort of still a little bit disarray, but a quarterback who has shown us that, you know, what's the one thing that we know now that we didn't know then? His teammates respect him. This is somebody that has come in as a rookie starter, and it appears that he has assumed a role that not every rookie quarterback does so quickly. Caleb Williams has walked into Halas Hall, and he immediately was respected as the difference in this team, a leader of this group. And that doesn't always happen, but I think it's because of the way that he is authentic and pretty genuine with people. He knows who he is, as he says and we heard yesterday, and he knows what is expected of him, and that's even bigger. So it's been a promising preseason. The season is exciting to consider what is possible with the Bears, and it's all part of the conversation because Caleb Williams has arrived.
This is the question that will be asked for the rest of time in sports.
Happy belated birthday to Craig Counsell. Yesterday he turned 54, I believe. Any surprise the Tigers started 7 left-handed hitters against Jameson Taillon last night? Was that the key to their success in a bullpen game against the Cubs?
Well, happy belated birthday, Craig Counsell. But, man, that was a terrible way to celebrate. 8-2? And this is a little pet peeve, and I was saying it last night after it happened. Because, yeah, Jameson Taillon kept him in it and gave him a workmanlike effort, and we can talk to Jim Deshays at 9 o'clock about this, but he gave up 2 home runs, right? 2 two-run home runs. And he's getting credit for keeping them in the game. His two-run home runs put them out of the game. I get it. He's a good guy. He's had a pretty good year. But he gave up 2 home runs, and they can't hit. So when you give up 2 two-run home runs to this, and your offense is this bad, you're done. So I don't know how much credit he deserves. Yeah, the Tigers beat him in a bullpen game. 7 left-handers. I hope that AJ Hinch is paying attention. That's what you want, lefties against Taillon. Today, are they going to be stacked with righties against Justin Steele? Justin Steele is going to be good today. Just know it.
So that's what $68 million gets you. You know, on the cusp of a quality start.
Serviceable.
Right, just serviceable. $17 million. And I think there is a market out there for him. I think he is a tradable asset because he is quote-unquote cheap. Okay, but that wasn't good enough. Am I surprised? No, I mean, that was a good game plan. Okay, Jameson Taillon was starting. The Cubs announced it. There was no secret. There were no surprises. And they went out there and took advantage of the fact that he's not great against lefties. But he's got to be better than that. And again, you don't win many games when you score 2 runs. And again, think about how the 2 runs were scored. off the bat of the backup catcher. Catcher's been an issue all year for the Cubs, except for about the last month. I mean, I talked to Mully about this before the show. Where are the stars of this team? When is the last time, David, think about this, the last time Nico Horner, who I like, tremendous guy, got a hit with a runner in scoring position? Last time he hit the ball out of the infield with a runner in scoring position. Not good enough.
Yeah, you know, it's just not good enough. That's exactly right. And I stayed up to watch the end because it was 4-2, and they had hit a couple homers, and I thought, you know, when they hit home runs, they usually win. If they get one more home run, they're going to win this game. And unfortunately, Neely came in, and that was an awful thing to watch, frankly. You know, you're going to come back from 4-2, not from 8-2. And that was just rough because, you know, your debut's in the ninth inning of a close game. I don't know how good they thought he was, but he seemed like the moment got to him a little bit.
Back on the bus.
He was only a pitch away.
That Iowa bus.
A pitch away from Iowa. So it was, I felt bad for him. I thought it was a tough situation, and they just threw him right in. But, you know, two runs, man. It's not going to do it. On a bullpen game, how do you get past that? How do you not look at that and say, this isn't good enough? And Dustin's absolutely spot on. You know, Dansby Swanson hit a homer, did not hit another one. You know, it allowed out from Bellinger is not a home run. You know, you need people to step up at this moment, say a Suzuki and Ian Happ. Everybody that you're giving money to, they're in the luxury tax. They're spending for this team. Where are their hitters? Nowhere to be found in that game.
You can ask that question.
That's the voice of Ron Coomer. He'll be with us tomorrow. How much pressure is on Justin Steele to do what aces are to do in today's series finale over at Wrigley Field?
I believe you're asking him to win a game, to come out. You know, I don't want to go after J-Mo here, but he was bad in the first inning. And he didn't just have one bad inning. He wasn't good in the first inning, and they threatened. And then the second inning is where it blew up on him. You're going to have to come out. It doesn't matter what your mentality is on the way to the ballpark. You got to go out there, and you got to perform a professional job. And you got to go, you know, this is it. This is their best pitcher. You came into the year believing that. And you've got to win this series. You have the same record as this team. You got to be ahead of them when this series is over. And that's nothing because they're three games now below 500 again, right? And all the good work is destroyed by a dumb loss. Do not have it happen again. So I got a lot of faith in Justin Steele, and I think he will perform well, and I think they will win the game. But that has to happen. He just has to be the guy that they think he is.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said there, Mully. I mean, it's not only on him. He's going to have pressure. The whole team's going to have pressure. And sometimes that's not a good thing in baseball when everybody thinks that it's on them to do it. But he's got to keep them in that game. And, you know, and we talked about this too. It starts from the very beginning. It's like the whole argument. Well, it's a nine-inning game. It's a 162-game season. Got plenty of time. No, you don't. Okay, the three outs in the first inning count just as much as the three in the fifth and the three in the eighth and the three in the ninth. You get three opportunities to get yourself out, right? So don't tell me, set the tone. And that's exactly what he's going to have to do today. He's got to set the tone.
Then he also can set the tone by giving him some runs.
Well, that would be nice
to
too.
Work
yes,
with.
I agree.
You giving and I agree. Him a cushion so he doesn't have to pitch, you know, seven innings of two-run baseball, which I think he'll probably do today. He needs to rise to the occasion. This conversation about where the Cubs are in the wild card race is nauseating because they remain. How long have they been 5.5 out with three teams in front of them? My goodness, that's like copy and paste. Boom. 5.5 out with three teams in front of them. And Justin Steele has to keep them in contention. Are they really? But it's all you can do, and you got to win this series, and you got to get on a little bit of a run. They've got to sense the urgency that is evident to everybody, but the Cubs, it appears. Now, it's hard to play baseball with urgency, but they have to try to find that. And today is a perfect example, because if they lose today and they lose that series, it is all but over.
And again, ask yourself that one question. Are you better afterward?
That's the voice of Steve Stone. Any idea what the White Sox are doing with Garrett Crochet? He went 4 innings again yesterday. When will they just shut the guy down?
What a frustrating thing to watch. What a odd thing to try to get your head around here. What are the White Sox doing? 57 pitches, 58 pitches. Is that better than letting him go, say, 80 pitches? And if he's going as he was yesterday, just leave him in the game until you're in a position to win the game? Now, they won the game yesterday, but is setting him out every fifth day to pitch 57 pitches smart? Do they have evidence that that's going to reduce the risk of injury more than letting him go 6 or 7, his normal workload? Because he hasn't thrown as many innings as he has thrown this year, does that mean every time out he's tempting fate? I don't know if the White Sox know the answer to these questions. It feels like this is a pay-as-you-go plan. Kind of, okay, well, what's next? Do they have a plan? Grady Sizemore says they do. He acknowledges the frustration Crochet feels when they pull him out of the game in situations like yesterday. I'd be so ticked off if I were Garrett Crochet right now. And yet he remains a good teammate, solid competitor, and the kind of guy you would want to build around and pay. Instead, they're likely to be, they're preserving him to trade him. So I guess that explains it.
I'd like you to amplify on that more later about the fact that Garrett Crochet is probably upset about this. He's also kind of set the tone with his agent when he demanded what he demanded. If he wanted to, he could have been more easily shipped out of town if that's indeed what he wanted, without playing the game with the contract. Now, I get why he did it. I don't blame him for doing it and hold it against him. But the fact that he might be upset with the way he's being handled, if anything, if I were the Sox, I wouldn't bring him out there, because the only thing that's going to come of this is something bad. He could get hurt. He's not going to get any better, I don't believe, throwing 4 innings or 60 pitches. I think those are your limits. I think 60, he's on a 60 pitch count, and he's on a 4 pitch. Whatever comes first, you're coming out after that. So I don't see why he would be upset. He's part of the problem, if you want to be honest.
I kind of look at it. Didn't they win both of his last two starts? They won last night and he started. Didn't they win before? I don't know. Does he have 11 more starts in him? Because you really need to spread those innings out if they're going to actually not be the worst team in history. I know no one cares about that, but someone should. I love the CBS Sports take on Jerry Reinsdorf, by the way. I recommend everyone go read that. I think it's worth doing a segment on it, because that was a takedown, and there's going to be more of that coming, especially if they end up as the losingest team in baseball history. But anyway, you know, I don't know what the hell they're doing with Garrett Crochet. I don't know what the point is. They just want him to get to a certain number of innings, or he wants to keep pitching. Whatever it is, whatever the great mystery is, it's very difficult to kind of figure it out. How is this helping him? What does this do for him? 55, 54 pitches, 57 pitches, whatever they're doing from start to start, not going past 4 innings. It's got to be based on some numerical idea. That's got to be based on something, but it's well beyond my understanding. And I think because they're so awful, no one is stopping and looking at it and saying, hey, what is this? Why? What's the point? I'd love to read it if someone wants to write that.
Well, they've got a brand new director of pitching, Brian Bannister, who created a job and does a wonderful job expressing himself and articulating exactly what he wants to do with this pitching plan in the system. I would hope that he is the guy charting the course. And if he is the guy charting the course, I think that it would behoove them to get him out there to explain.
I totally agree. I totally agree. We've got a great extra point. We'll get to that next. Mully and Haw on the score.